Good morning, everyone. Buenos días a todos, hermanos. Wanted to talk a little bit to introduce what's the direction our church is going. There's a movement among many, many churches called Who's Your One? Who's Your One? Well, quiero introducir una dirección en que la iglesia nos vamos a ir en este año. Y es traducido, ¿quién es el uno tuyo? El uno tuyo. And this has to do with the biblical belief that when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power and you shall be my witness. Okay? We've been singing this. It's all over, impregnated in all our songs, you know, about reaching the world with the message, saving message of Jesus Christ. It's not about the pastor reaching everybody. It's about the church reaching everybody. And once it gets out of the building, you know, it's that belief, biblical belief that God gave you the power to be his witness, and that there is at least one person in your life that you care about that has not been forgiven of their sins, does not have eternal life, and is lost, and that you have been given the power to lead that person, to draw that person, to invite that person to Jesus Christ. That's what this movement is about. Everybody here has at least one person in their life that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Este movimiento, ¿quién es el uno tuyo? Se trata del entendimiento bíblico que cuando Jesús nos dijo a nosotros, pero cuando venga el Espíritu Santo sobre ustedes, recibirán poder y serán mis testigos. ¿Eh? Serán mis testigos y vamos a hablar del que vamos a compartir que Jesús salva, que Jesús perdona y da vida eterna. Y este movimiento nos dice que cada uno de nosotros tenemos por lo menos una persona en nuestra vida quien nosotros conocemos, amamos o nos vamos a encontrar con ellos, que no conoce a Jesús como su Salvador, que no tiene sus pecados perdonados y si se muere va a estar perdido para siempre. Y este movimiento es empezar a reconocer, tomar esa responsabilidad cada uno de nosotros y empezar a buscar esa persona, orar por esa persona, ¿eh? Y invertir una relación con esa persona más cercana para el propósito de guiarlos un día, invitarlos un día a Cristo. And so that's what we're going to be moving on, and I'm just touching on it today. In fact, we're going to see a little bit in today's message. Entonces vamos a ir en esa dirección nosotros como iglesia y animarnos unos a otros que alcancemos, que oremos por nuestro uno. Yeah? And so we're going to encourage it. We're going to move in that direction. We're just tasting it today. And we're going to encourage one another so that we begin to pray for that one person. We don't know, we might not know who it is, but we got to start going to God and say, who's that person, Lord, that needs you, that's lost? Who's that person in my life, in the circle of my influences. And so that's what this is all about. Okay? So just preview. Esto es una para que vean de antemano la dirección que vamos a ir. Y que es la voluntad de Dios. And it's the will of God. Because Jesus didn't say that just for nothing, okay? That you should receive power so that you just sit on your hands and knees and or in your hands and hopefully somebody, the people we care about will come to Jesus. Okay? We gotta be involved. Let God work through us, okay? So, today's message, how to pray when under attack, okay? How to pray when under attack. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre este tema. ¿Cómo orar cuando estamos bajo ataque? And it's interesting that we're going to be having a prayer service at 5 o'clock, okay? It's a prayer meeting. And it does have to do with spiritual attack upon our church, okay? Es interesante que vamos a tener un culto de oración en la tarde a las 5. Y se trata de ataque espiritual. De ataque espiritual. We've been noticing a lot of our leaders, and not just leaders, probably just regular servants of God, have been going through difficult times. Sicknesses, discouragement, okay? Our members going to other churches, okay? That's discouraging. That can become discouraging. But we need to understand that we need to go to the Lord and know how to pray when difficulties, opposition comes into our life, our walk, our relationships, our church. And that's what we're going to be doing this afternoon at 5. But this will help us guide us in that direction, okay? Entonces, es importante que entendamos que nuestra iglesia está bajo ataque también. Líderes que están pasando por dificultades, por saludes con sus niños, desánimos, hermanos sacando otros hermanos de esta iglesia para llevarlos a otra iglesia. Fíjate, eso puede ser un desánimo para la iglesia. Yeah. And so we, tenemos que saber cómo orar, cómo ir al Señor juntos. Y es lo que vamos a ir a hacer en la tarde a las 5. Y los invito a todos que regresen. I'm going to invite you all to return back at 5. And we're just going to plan at least just 1 hour and to seek the Lord and say, Lord, and find out who's under attack, who needs help, who's discouraged. And we're going to pray and we're going to lift each other up. Okay? So we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. Vamos a estar en Hechos capítulo 4. The church that obeys Jesus will be attacked by the enemy. That's the kind of what you're going to see here. Okay? Y vamos a ver que una iglesia que obedece a Jesús será atacada por el enemigo. And this is the beginning of the Christian church here in the book of Acts. If you want to know how the church got started, start reading chapter 1, book of Acts, and start reading chapter by chapter. It's a wonderful story. Okay? You're going to wind up saying, I'm late to work and I can't stop reading. Okay? Lean ese capítulo. Sería bueno todo el libro de Hechos, pero estamos en Hechos 4. Now, what happened? Okay. Remember Peter, if you read it before, Peter preached his heart out and 3,000 souls were saved on one afternoon. Or was it the morning? I'm not sure, but they were saved right there. And because the Holy Spirit had fallen on Peter and all the disciples, and they were on fire. They were witnesses. And they started to testify. And 3,000 souls came to Jesus that day. Okay? Because they believed the truth that Jesus said, you shall be my witness. Okay? Entonces, mira, tenemos que entender un poco de historia de lo que pasó. Pedro, si se acuerdan, en el capítulo 2, él creyó lo que Jesús le dijo. Y el Espíritu Santo, en el momento que cayó sobre todos los discípulos, ellos empezaron a hablar en otros idiomas, como los que estaban acumulados alrededor ese día. Mucha gente de diferentes idiomas, para que entiendan algo especial estaba ocurriendo. Y él creyó la verdad, que tú vas a ser mi testigo cuando el Espíritu venga sobre vosotros. Y Pedro empezó a predicar todo el Evangelio, hermanos. Y 3,000 almas vinieron a Cristo ese día. So, he was stoked. He was on fire, okay? And I don't know how many days after, he was on his way to the temple. Him and John, Peter and John were on the way to the temple. And there was a man there who was always placed in front of the beautiful gate of the temple and to beg alms so he can continue to live, you know? And everybody knew him. And on that particular day, something special happened. Yeah? Y no sé cuántos días después, Pedro y Juan estaban en camino hacia al templo para adorar a Dios, ¿verdad? Y pusieron en la puerta del templo uno que no podía caminar, ¿eh? Él estaba cojo, no sé qué, pero no podía caminar. Y todos lo conocían porque cada día lo ponían ahí. Y algo especial ocurrió. Peter healed him on that day. He says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I give to you is this. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. And he grabbed him by the arms, pulled him up, and his feet were strengthened. And once they were strengthened, he jumped up. And he started jumping up and down, and he joined them all the way to worship the Lord inside the temple. Okay? Y ese día, pues, Pedro lo miró y le dijo, mírame a mí. Dice, yo no tengo oro ni plata, pero lo que te doy ahorita, te lo voy a dar. En el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret, párate. Y lo agarró de los brazos y lo levantó, y se le empezó a endurecer las coyunturas y se pudo parar. Y dio un brinco, dice la Biblia, que dio un brinco y empezó a brincar y entró al templo junto con ellos. It's kind of like Peter woke up that day and said, who's my one? Who's my one for today? Peter was encountering ones every single day. I needed the Lord, okay? But for that day, for that morning, who's my one, Lord? And it was that man who could not walk at the beautiful gate. We need to be aware of who our one is, because you have the Holy Spirit just like Peter. Es como si Pedro dijo esa mañana cuando se levantó, ¿quién es mi uno para este día? ¿Quién es esa alma, Señor, a quien me vas a llevar este día? Pues le tocó al hombre cojo, acostado enfrente de la puerta del templo. Y cada uno de nosotros tenemos que tener esa sensibilidad, de quién es el uno para mí. Quizás vamos a enfocarnos en el uno por varias semanas o meses hasta que venga Cristo, o si no va a ser uno cada día, como Pedro, no sé. Pero ese era el uno de Pedro. And brothers, that one soul helped bring, in a matter of an hour, 5,000 more souls to Jesus. That one soul. Huh? Because Peter was obedient to God and shared Jesus and invoked his name, and that man got saved. How would that happen? Well, everybody who saw him in the temple said, "Yo, aren't you that guy that used to beg in front of the..." Yeah, what happened? A miracle. Wow, the name of Jesus. And it just started growing, and people started coming and gathering and excited. And Peter said, "Okay, it's time to preach again." And this time it wasn't 3, it was 5,000. Yeah. Esa alma, si somos obedientes a Dios y creemos que hay una persona, un alma que Dios nos va a usar para que le comuniquemos, esa alma puede cambiar muchas almas después. Porque después de que ese hombre cojo entró al templo, la gente empezaron a verlo y dice, ¿qué pasó? ¿Que no eras cojo? Pues sí, pero el nombre de Jesús me sanó. Y empezaron a acumularse mucha gente y Pedro dijo, ay, es tiempo de predicar otra vez el Evangelio. Y predicó otra vez y esta vez fueron 5,000 almas. See how the power, brothers, of the truth that there is one person that God wants us to reach. Okay? I know this probably, you probably say, I have a 20 people that need Jesus, but it starts with one. It starts with one. Sometimes we have so many, we don't know where to start, but it starts with one. Yeah. Ahí me dije, "Wow, yo conozco como 20 personas que no conocen a Cristo, pero empieza con uno. Enfócate en uno, como Pedro. Focus on one like Peter did, and let God work. And let God work." Let's go to first book. Now, what happened, brothers? Well, when you get obedient to God, and when the church gets obedient to God, and they start actually testifying and sharing Jesus with others, the enemy rises up against you. The enemy, people who hate Jesus. And that was the Pharisees and the elders and the priests of the temple, brothers. They hated the Lord. They sent him to the cross. And when they heard Peter sharing Jesus, boy, they arrested him. They arrested him. They told him, "You better not be doing this anymore." And Peter, you know, let them have it. "You guys did this. This is the Messiah that everybody's been waiting for, and you killed him." Yeah. Es interesante que cuando un creyente o una iglesia entera empieza a ser obediente a Cristo y empieza a decir, "Yo voy a ser obediente, voy a compartir a Jesús." Y Pedro estaba haciéndolo, hermanos, y ahí fue arrestado en ese momento que se salvaron 5,000 almas. Fue arrestado y fue llevado al tribunal y lo regañaron por haber hablado en el nombre de Jesús, que ya no lo anda haciendo otra vez o te vamos a castigar. Y no, hermano, dijo, "No, yo voy a seguir haciéndolo, ¿ya? Yo voy a seguir haciéndolo porque Dios me dijo que lo haga." Y después de regañarlo, lo soltaron. And so right here, brothers, in Acts chapter 4, Peter has come back and he's sharing with the church what happened to him. And they start to pray, okay? They start to pray because they understand that when there's opposition from the enemy who doesn't want people to get saved, that we need to gather together and pray. Y lo que estaba ocurriendo aquí en el capítulo 4, Pedro regresó junto con Juan y le compartió con la iglesia, y la iglesia entendió, tenemos que orar. Y todo esto se trata de una oración de la iglesia. This is the church praying, pretty much what we're going to be studying today. Okay? And so, with that, that's the prayer, and I'm going to jump now to the first point, brothers, and I'm going to refer back to the scriptures. Estas son las escrituras de lo que ellos estaban orando, pero cuando voy a ir al bosquejo y después voy a regresar y les voy a enseñar las escrituras o las voy a leer. So it's in your notes, so you can read it right out of your notes in your bulletin too, or go straight to your Bible. ¿Están en tus notas las escrituras o puedes leerlas de la Biblia? Entonces, so I'm going to move on to the first point. Voy a ir al... See, when there's some lessons to learn when opposition rises up against an obedient person, Christian, or an obedient church. There's lessons that we can learn from the first church. Hay lecciones que podemos aprender de la primera iglesia, ¿eh? La iglesia en Jerusalén, de cuando se levanta una posición del enemigo contra nosotros, ¿qué podemos aprender de ellos? First of all, okay, there is an awareness, a clear awareness of the truth of Scripture. You start to understand, you know what? It's true what's in the Bible. Because it's happening to me right now. Yeah. Es interesante que cuando hay oposición, se puede darnos a nosotros una conciencia más clara de la verdad de las Escrituras. De la verdad de las Escrituras. Porque empezamos a entender, miren lo que dice las Escrituras, está pasándome a mí ahorita. Fíjate. And that's what was happening to them. As we look at verse 24. Okay, miramos, they understand how more clearly that God is all powerful. Even in the midst of all this, están empezando a entender que Dios es todopoderoso. Ellos, yeah. Let's look at verse 24. Vamos a ver el versículo 24. It says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats. I'm sorry, that's not verse 24. Verse 24 says, and when they heard this, the report from Peter, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. We'll stop right there. Dicen el 24, dice, al oír ellos esto, el reporte, unánimos alzaron la voz a Dios y dijeron, oh Señor, tú eres el que hiciste el cielo y la tierra y el mar y todo lo que en ellos hay. Okay? So what's going on with this first statement? Okay. It says they began to pray in the same direction as the church. Yeah, they are praying perhaps at the same time because it says in one voice they raised up their prayer to God. Okay, perhaps there was somebody with the microphone with the bigger voice leading the prayer, but everybody with one voice started to pray and call on God. Yeah, I know they don't have microphones, but you know what I mean, right? Entonces dice aquí que es interesante que la iglesia, movido por el Espíritu de Dios, unánimes, fíjate, empezaron a orar. Muchas voces a la misma vez, pero quizá una persona dirigiendo la dirección, porque aquí está escrita para nosotros. And it started with God, you're God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. It's like they're saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? We recognize your mightiness, your power, your... Thank you that you are our Father. That's how they start. Recognizing the power of God. Yeah? Empezaron con su oración, reconociendo el poder de Dios, diciendo, tú eres el Dios todopoderoso que hizo todos los cielos, la tierra, el mar y todo lo que hay en ellos. Y si tú estás con nosotros, ¿quién puede estar con nosotros? Como si hubieran dicho eso. Reconociendo el poder de Dios. So when we're under attack, brothers, we need to go back and focus not on the power of the enemy, but on the power of God. Cuando hay ataque del enemigo, oposición, hermanos, no se enfoque en eso. Enfóquese en el poder de Dios. ¿Eh? La grandeza de Dios. Y es así es como empezaron ellos. ¿Eh? Reconociendo la grandeza y el poder de Dios. What else happened? Well, point B, we look at verse 25. God, we see, they began to understand that God knows all things beforehand. It wasn't a surprise what was happening. ¿Eh? This opposition from the religious leaders, okay? Entonces, miramos el versículo 25, que Dios sabe todas las cosas de antemano. ¿Eh? Él ya sabe, no lo agarró de sorpresa. I'm going to read to you verse 25. It says, who by the Holy Spirit, he's talking about how God spoke, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things. He's talking about Psalm 2. If you ever go back and read Psalm number 2, this is exactly what it's there. The kings of the earth, it says, took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Yeah. If you want to hear about Christ, Jesus Christ, not by name, of course, but it's referred to in Psalm chapter 2. Yeah. So God already knew ahead of time that the leaders, the kings and religious leaders were going to oppose the God and His Son, Jesus Christ. They're just recognizing it. You know, they're recognizing that. Él dice que él que por el Espíritu Santo, por boca de nuestro Padre, a David, tu siervo, dijiste, ¿dónde dijo? En el Salmo capítulo 2. Salmo capítulo 2. Porque dice aquí, porque se enfurecieron los gentiles y los pueblos tomaron casos vanos, se presentaron los reyes de la tierra y los gobernantes se juntaron a una contra el Señor y contra su Cristo. Ahí está listado en el Salmo 2, ese evento. They're recognizing that God knew ahead of time and even wrote it in Psalm chapter 2. Están dándose cuenta que Dios ya sabe de antemano lo que viene, lo que va a pasar, lo que Él va a permitir y lo marcó en el Salmo capítulo 2. See, brothers, God's in control. When you pray, you declare, God, you are in control of this situation. Cuando estamos orando y estamos bajo ataque, hay que declarar, Señor, no solo eres tan grande y poderoso, pero tú estás en control ahorita. Ya lo escribiste de antemano lo que va a pasar. En ti estamos confiando, Señor. We're trusting in you, Lord, because you already wrote it down. You know exactly what's going to happen already. ¿Eh? That's important when you're praying, is you also tell God, you know, God, you're under control. In fact, they were praying the scriptures back to God. the Psalm 2, they were praying it back to God. Yeah? And that's one way that you can pray. Is you can take a scripture that's true about God and you just pray it back to the Lord, the truth of it. Y ellos estaban orando las escrituras hacia Dios. Estaban tomando el Salmo y declarando la verdad del Salmo capítulo 2 al Señor para que su nombre sea alabado. What else happened as they move on? So the efforts, we look at it also in verse 25 and 26, that the efforts of the enemy are futile in the end. They're futile in the end. Y están dando, reconociendo también que los esfuerzos del enemigo son inútiles en el final. Kings can take their stand, rulers can gather together against the Lord and his anointed, but Jesus is still going to rise from the dead. He's still going to go to the right hand of the Father. He's still going to empower his church with power to be his witnesses. And he's coming back to take them home. Can't stop that. Yeah. Es inútil. Sí, se van a juntar los reyes, los gobernantes contra el Señor Jesucristo. Pero Jesús aún va a resucitar entre los muertos. Aún él se va a ascender a la diestra del Padre. Y aún va a mandar su Espíritu y vamos a testificar y las almas serán salvas y se va a llenar el reino de Dios de almas y va a regresar Jesús un día por ellos. Nada puede parar eso. Inútil en los esfuerzos. So, and the end, brothers, verse 27-28, God is in control of the situation. Just like I said. We're going to look at those two verses. Vamos a mirar que en el 27 y 28 que Dios está en control de la situación. It says, verse 27, for truly in the city there were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus whom you anointed, who? Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. God predestined it to occur, and it had to occur. He was in control. He was in control. They're recognizing that. Y dice en el 27, dice, porque en verdad, si tomamos la verdad del Salmo 2, dice, en verdad, estas ciudades se unieron con tanto Herodes como Poncio Pilato y juntamente con los gentiles y los pueblos de Israel contra tu santo siervo Jesús, a quien tú ungiste, ¿para qué? Hacer cuanto tu mano, Dios, tu mano, tu propósito, habían predestinado que sucediera. Porque Dios lo predestinó, tuvo Jesús que ir a la cruz por manos de malhechores. Yeah. Dios estaba en control. God was under control. So, see, they're getting a clear awareness of Scripture. Okay, how powerful, how uncontrolled God is in all of this. Yeah. Entonces, mientras están orando, se están dando cuenta de la claridad y la certeza de las Escrituras. En cómo se están desarrollando las cosas. Now, let's look at what they ask God. Vamos a ver lo que le piden a Dios. ¿Eh? Y va a ser empezar en el versículo 29. It starts in verse 29. Here they start to ask God things. Okay? They start to ask the Lord. These are some things we're going to ask tonight at 5 o'clock. Estas son cosas que le vamos a pedir nosotros a Dios. Esta tarde a las 5. Let's read verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats. Take note of what they're saying against us, Lord, against you, against your son, against us. Yeah? Ahora dicen ellos, y ahora, Señor, considera sus amenazas, lo que están, que no prediquemos, que nos van a castigar, que nos van a echar fuera de las sinagogas. Toma en cuenta estas amenazas. It goes on, and grant, here it is what they're asking. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. That's them. They're the bondservants. When you come to Jesus, I am now a slave of Jesus Christ. He bought me with his blood. Huh? When I was a slave of sin, now I'm a slave of Christ. Huh? I'm a slave, a servant of the Lord. Grant that I, as your servant, may speak your word with all confidence. Yeah. ¿Y qué le pide al Señor? Dice, permite que tus siervos hablen tu palabra con toda confianza. ¿Quién son los siervos? Pues no era solo Pedro y Pablo, era todos los que estaban ahí, toda la iglesia eran los siervos de Dios. Queremos, Dios, hablar tu palabra con toda confianza. Yeah. Wow. Of all the things you can ask God. So what? Let's break it down. They're praying for protection, first of all. Primeramente miramos que están orando por protección. Look, miren sus amenazas. Look, take note of their, what's it say? Of their threats. So they're asking for protection. A church needs to pray for protection. Una iglesia tiene que orar por protección. And there are promises that God has given us in the Bible about protection. Hay promesas que Dios nos ha dado a nosotros en la Biblia sobre la protección. I'm going to put up a verse in the Old Testament, which is also given to us. Hay un versículo en el Antiguo Testamento que también pertenece para nosotros. And it's Isaiah 54, verse 17. Isaías 54, versículo 17. Yeah. ¿Qué dice este versículo? Let's look. It says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Stop right there. Dice aquí primero la promesa, ninguna arma forjada contra ti prosperará. And he's talking to his people. Y él está hablando a su pueblo. ¿Eh? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. The truth, first of all, is that it didn't say nobody's going to be forging any weapons. They are going to be forging weapons. But the truth, God is saying, but I promise you, it will not prosper. They will use their weapon. They will use their weapon. They will wield their weapon, but it will not prosper. Okay? It will not prosper. Primera verdad dice que ninguna arma forjada contra ti. No está diciendo que no va a haber armas forjadas. Sí va a haber armas forjadas, pero no prosperarán. ¿Eh? La van a usar, la van a forjar, la van a usar contra nosotros. Ese poder, esas autoridades, como la oposición que les enfrentó a Pedro y a Pablo, pero no va a prosperar. No va a prosperar. And then it goes on to say, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Okay, you will condemn. Whether on earth or in heaven, brothers, before the throne of God, you will condemn it. Y también dice que, y condenarás toda lengua que te acuse en el juicio. Falsamente, toda lengua que te ha acusado falsamente, tú la vas a condenar un día, sea aquí en la tierra o en la presencia del Señor. La vamos a condenar. Todas las mentiras levantadas contra nosotros. You know, lies are one of the greatest weapons the enemy uses against God's people. They forge those lies, they move those lies, they push those lies, they spread those lies. But one day, brothers, we're going to condemn those lies before the presence of God. We're going to condemn them. It's a promise from the Lord. And it goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Y luego dice, esta es la herencia de los siervos del Señor, y su vindicación viene de mí, declara el Señor. So we're part of our inheritance is the fact that we're going to condemn every weapon formed against us one day. We're going to condemn. So this promise, not only for the people back then, but also for us. We inherit this promise. It's our heritage. Okay. It's for us to understand, okay? Entonces, es como una herencia esta promesa para nosotros. Esta es la herencia de los siervos de Dios. ¿Eh? Que esas armas no van a prosperar contra nosotros. So, but even so, we are expected to pray for protection. Aún con esta promesa se nos espera a Dios que pidamos en oración la protección. And that's what they're doing. They believe this truth and they're praying, Lord, protect us now. Also, we see that praying for bold obedience. If you remember, grant that your servants, they said, that your servants may continue to speak the word with all confidence. Praying for boldness. Están también orando por la obediencia, una obediencia valiente, que nosotros, tus siervos, podamos seguir hablando la palabra con toda confianza. That my one that I'm supposed to reach for you, Lord, will get to hear my words of encouragement, that there is salvation, that there is hope, that there is a new life in Jesus, that my one will get to hear. Grant that I'll have the confidence to keep going. Es como si estuvieran ellos diciendo, Señor, que pueda yo tener la confianza de hablarle a mi uno que tú te has preparado para mí, que yo le hable, Señor, que le toca oír a ella, a él, que tú salvas, que tú cambias vidas, que tú das propósito, que tú das esperanza, Señor, en esta vida, para la vida que viene. que tú has preparado para nosotros. Praying for obedience. And then it says, they were also praying for continued display of God's power. Huh. Y luego también oran por la manifestación continua del poder de Dios. That means that God was already powerfully at work. And they said, don't let it stop, Lord. Parece que ese poder se estaba manifestando aún entre los hermanos, pero estaban pidiendo que no vaya a parar. Let's read verse 30. Mira lo que dice el versículo 30. It says, for while you, okay, let us keep going, Lord, with all confidence, while you, verse 30, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Don't let the sign stop, Lord. Y luego dicen ellos, mientras a nosotros nos dan la confianza de seguir hablando, dice en el versículo 30, mientras extiendes tu mano para que se hagan curaciones, señales, prodigios mediante el nombre de tu santo siervo Jesús. See, the holy name of Jesus, the use of the holy name of Jesus indicates that the Christians were engaging God's help and asking for healing over people in great need. They were already using the name of Jesus, invoking the name of Jesus, assuring people that Jesus can forgive you of your sins, can change your life, can restore you in joy in a new relationship with God. They're already using the name of Jesus. Yeah. Parece que ellos estaban usando el nombre de Jesús aún. Yeah. Sigue haciendo tus milagros, Señor, mediante el nombre de tu santo siervo Jesús. Porque ellos estaban usando el nombre, invocando el nombre. Señor, sana a esta persona, Señor. Pido, Señor, que ayudes a esta persona y que lo perdones, que lo limpies sus pecados, que lo hagas creer en ti, Señor, con todo su corazón. Y estaban ellos usando el nombre de Jesús y estaba moviéndose Dios. So if you want to see God at work, you better have a deep awe of the name of Jesus. A deep awe of the name of Jesus. Si tú quieres ver a Dios moverse en tu vida, empieza con tener un asombro profundo del nombre de Jesús. Porque ahí está todo. Ahí está la vida. Ahí está el perdón. Ahí está el poder. Yeah? Because in that name is everything. Yeah? All the power, all the salvation, all the whatever one needs, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah? And they were using it and said, God, don't stop. Use advancing the name and the fame of Jesus Christ. That's what they wanted. To advance the name and the fame of Jesus. Ellos querían simplemente avanzar el nombre y la fama de Jesús. Yeah. God wants to hear those kind of prayers. Dios quiere oír esa clase de oración from His church, de su iglesia, from you, de ti, quiero oír eso. Yeah. I want to advance your name and your fame, Jesus, through my life, through my words, through my choices. Yo quiero avanzar tu nombre y tu fama, Señor Jesús, por medio de mi vida, de mis palabras, de mis decisiones que yo hago. And that's, wow, that was wonderful, you know? And so, what now? Well, what happened after they prayed that? When you want to advance the name and the fame of Jesus Christ, brothers, into the so people get saved, what happens after that? ¿Qué pasa cuando tú quieres avanzar el nombre y la fama de Jesús? ¿Cómo responde Dios a eso? Well, let's look at the results here in verse 31. Miramos los resultados en el versículo 31. And when they had prayed, what happened? Y cuando ellos oraron, ¿qué pasó? The place where they were gathered together was shaken. It was shaken. Dice aquí, el lugar donde estaban reunidos tembló. Tembló. The word shaken means there was a seismic tremor in that very moment. After they said amen, the ground started to shake and the walls started to rattle. Okay? And then it stopped. God was saying something about that prayer. Okay? En ese momento, la palabra sacudido quiere decir que hubo un temblor sísmico, hermanos, en ese momento que ellos dijeron el amén. Yeah. Dios respondió con un temblor. It was God giving his thumbs up and saying, that's what I want to hear. Es como si Dios estaba diciendo, mira, eso es lo que yo quiero oír. Hmm? That's happened before. Eso ha pasado antes. Yeah. When Paul and Silas were praying in the jail, what were they praying? They were just thanking God. Their wounds were dripping blood. They were in handcuffs. Their feet were in stocks. Both of them And then they were praising the Lord. They were thanking God that they were servants, that they had shared the gospel, that they were obedient, the honor of suffering for Christ, and they were praising God. En ese momento, Pablo y Silas, hermanos, ¿se acuerdan cuando estaban en Filipos? Estaban en el calabozo, en cadenas, y ellos estaban alabando a Dios. Estaban dándole gracias a Dios que les dio a ellos el honor de ser siervos de Él, de compartir el Evangelio, y que habían sido fieles y estaban dándole gracias y alabanzas a Cristo. Y en ese momento, Dios respondió con esa oración. God responded to that prayer and He shook the jail. Shook the doors right off the jail. Y sacudió Dios en ese momento también las jaulas, hermanos, y se abrieron todas las puertas. See, when God's happy about a prayer, He finds a way to respond. See, I like what I hear and I'm going to do it. Me gusta lo que yo oí y lo voy a hacer. Y lo voy a hacer inmediato. So God shook the church in that moment. Dios respondió y sacudió la iglesia en ese momento. So praying together brings encouragement, brothers. When we pray the right things for the glory and so that the name and the fame of Jesus Christ is lifted up, it brings encouragement to the church. That's why we're going to find some encouragement this afternoon at 5. Cuando oramos las cosas correctas, avanzando el nombre y la fama de Jesús, se brinda aliento a los que están pidiendo. Brinda aliento, hermanos. What's another thing that happens? Praying together fills believers with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to read the rest of it. Si leemos el resto del versículo, que orando juntos, llena al creyente con el poder del Espíritu Santo. What does it say there? It says, it was shaken, yes. And then what happened? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Dice que después del temblor, dice, y todos fueron llenos del Espíritu. Now remember, go back to why we received the Holy Spirit in the first place. So that we would what? Speak in tongues? That's not what he said. That's not what Jesus said. So that we would be his witnesses. So that that's the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we would be his witnesses. ¿Se acuerdan el propósito de por qué Jesús dijo que nos iba a mandar el Espíritu Santo para que venga sobre nosotros? ¿Para que hablemos en lenguas? No, eso no dijo él. Para que seamos sus testigos. Y ellos fueron llenos del Espíritu. They were filled with the Spirit. In that moment after praying, brothers, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice the result. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness, because the Holy Spirit was at work. ¿Y qué fue después? Letra C. Y hablaron, después de que fueron llenos del Espíritu, hablaron la palabra de Dios con valor, con valor. They came out of the place and they said, who's my one? Who's my one? And they went and shared, okay? They went and invited. They went and spoke of the deeds of Jesus Christ. Entonces, en ese momento, saliendo de esa junta de oración, hermanos, salieron y dijeron, ¿dónde está mi uno? Que lo tengo que invitar. Y empezaron a compartir a Jesús con todo valor, hermanos, con todo valor. See, that's why we're here on earth still, brothers. That's why we're still here on earth. Por eso estamos aquí en la tierra, hermanos. Hay muchas almas que todavía necesitan a Jesús. There's a lot of souls that still need the Lord. So, my challenge to you, start praying for the one. You might not know the person who that person is. You might know already. And so, Lord, start preparing their life for Jesus. To hear about Jesus. Start preparing their life. Yeah? No, mi reto para ustedes es que empiecen a orar por ese uno con que vas a empezar. Yeah? Ese uno. That ain't going to be the only one, brothers. But that's the first one. Yeah? A orar por esa persona, de que me ilumines quizás quién es esa persona. Pero empieza, Señor, a trabajar en su vida. Para preparar su corazón para que mire que necesita a Jesús, que necesita al Señor en su vida. Por eso nos dejó el Señor. That's why the Lord left us here. See, when we are busy being obedient in this area of God's command, joy, brother, your life takes a whole new direction. All the things that bother you now don't matter anymore because you're doing God's work and He's using you and He's at work and you forget about all these petty little things that bother you. Yeah? Es algo interesante, cuando nos hacemos obedientes a Dios, Él nos llena de gozo, Que almas están siendo cambiadas y vidas también, hermanos. Y esas cositas que nos molesta de la gente, ya no nos importa porque el Señor nos ha enfocado en la dirección que debemos de ir.
That's right.
So, we're going to pray. Vamos a orar. And maybe right now is when you need to start praying for protection. Okay? Protection. That you can continue being obedient to God in whatever area. Okay, because the enemy doesn't want you to be obedient. That's why he attacks. That's why he attacks. He doesn't want you to be obedient. Faithful. To stand firm on the truth. So let's start praying now for ourselves or for one another for protection.
Vamos a empezar a orar uno por el otro por la protección. Porque está por nosotros. Porque el Señor, el diablo no quiere que seamos obedientes a Cristo.
Por eso nos va a atacar. Va a haber oposición. Nos van a hacer burla, lo que sea. Porque mira que nos queremos ser enderezarnos y acercarnos a Dios. Y hacer su voluntad. No, y nos va a atacar, hermanos. Pídele, Señor, protégeme. Let's pray. Lord, protect us. Let's all stand. Vamos a ponerse bien. Y vamos a empezar a orar.
I know you want to be obedient. But and you're going to have to know how to pray. Once you start getting. If you're not obedient now, you're going to be. How to pray when you're under attack.
Tienes que saber cómo orar cuando estás bajo ataque.
And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, where we need to be obedient as a church. Thank you, Lord, that there's a soul out there waiting for us. They can't wait to meet their Savior. The one who loves them is going to save them and cleanse them. And Lord, and you have chosen you've chosen us, Lord, to be an instrument in your powerful hand. Lord, remove any fear from us, Lord, that is not from you, and begin to give us faith and trust in your great power.
Señor, gracias que nos acuerdas que hay almas allá que están esperando un día encontrarse con ese Dios que lo ama, que lo quiere perdonar y limpiarnos y darle nueva vida, Señor. Y tú nos has escogido para que seamos tu instrumento. Quítanos todo temor, Señor, todo angustia, sabiendo que eso no es de ti, Señor. Y danos esa fe que hay, tu gran poder está disponible para nosotros. Gracias.
And as we go, Father, we pray now for our one, Lord, for each of us, that you would prepare them.
Oramos que por ese uno, Señor, esa alma que todavía no te conoce, que empieces a prepararlos, Señor. Ese uno para cada uno de nosotros, Señor. Y prepara a nosotros también, Señor, cada día.
And start to get us ready too, Lord, as we grow in obedience and faith. And
we pray these things in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen.
How the Lord will use you. Pick somebody, maybe in your family, maybe at work, maybe in your community, that God has put on your heart to disciple, to pray for the one. Amen? Also, as we began to come tonight to pray from 5 to 6, I encourage you to invite somebody. Invite somebody that needs prayer. Bring that person with you, okay? All right? Come on, okay? All right. Repeat after me. As we pray, I will say the word first. You repeat after me. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So Lord, when we are attacked, we know that the Lord will help us. We thank you. We pray your blessing on us as we go here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.